Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for coming and showing up to the last track after there was beer and ice cream out there. I know that was a tough draw to get you back in, but I mean popsicles, it's not the same. Anyway, we have another great session today. This is the last track session of the day with three panelists and Carol Kroll, our editor-in-chief, and I'm going to allow them to introduce themselves, but thanks for sticking with us, and we'll see you after the event.
Thanks. Thanks, Erica. Hey, everybody. Is everybody ready to rock and be done with the conference, or do you want like three more days? Maybe two, maybe one. I'm really glad to have both Jen Klock and Travis Bickham here on the panel today because, you know, personalization has, it's very basic that it's a powerful tool, but it's not always easy to do for all kinds of reasons. So I wanted to be able to talk to both of them today about some of the things that they're doing with personalization in their own companies. Jen Klock is with Jellyvision, and Travis is with Tradeshift. And if we could start by spending 2 minutes telling folks what it is your company does and what you do there.
I'm Jen Klock. I'm a senior marketing manager at Jellyvision, and Jellyvision is a software company, and our software platform is called Alex, and we sell it to folks who work in human resources, and Alex explains complicated topics like choosing your health insurance benefits, saving for retirement, or navigating a leave of absence, and helps employees make decisions about those complicated, confusing topics.
Great.
Thanks, Jen. Well, as Carol said, my name is Travis Bickham. I'm head of enterprise marketing at Tradeshift. We're the world's largest business commerce platform. So what we do is somewhat esoteric, but essentially it boils down to allowing the largest companies in the world to buy and sell from each other and then monitor their suppliers for risk and pay them electronically in real time.
Terrific. So we actually have some slides up front, but mostly today will be a conversation between the three of us, and we'd like to talk to you too and see if you have questions throughout the presentation, but Jen is going to kick it off and then Travis with just a few slides with some examples of the campaign work that they've done in terms of personalization. So Jen, did you want to just launch into that?
Sounds good.
Looks
I'm
like
up
we
first.
Have your slide up and you can see the monitor here.
Yeah, so on the marketing team at Jellyvision, we have a well-oiled machine for demand generation. In 2016, we generated 33,000 inbound leads for our sales team. So for this year, we decided to try something a little bit new, and we dove into account-based marketing for the first time, which can be pretty scary to try something new. And we knew that it was really important to get the personalization part right so that we could have our campaign resonate with our recipients. So let's dive in.
If you prefer standing up to sitting down, it's up to you.
I'm kind of good sitting.
Good. Okay. I know. I feel that way, too.
Yeah. Okay, so in our campaign, we included 70 contacts at 31 accounts, and these are big whale jumbo named accounts that we've been trying to go after for a while, and specifically in the life sciences industry. So right off the bat, with the folks that we included, we customized it to an industry because HR teams who work in pharmaceutical, biotech, medical devices have similar pain points when it comes to communicating benefits to their employees. It was a multi-channel strategy, so we had digital touches with emails and website personalization, a big direct mail component, and then also sales follow-ups. And we made 4 pieces of customized content. So we make a ton of marketing content, but we edited a few of our ebooks to be specifically speaking to life sciences HR teams. And then 3 direct mail pieces at the heart of the campaign, and they were spaced out over 4 weeks, and then had an aggressive sales follow-up. When the packages were delivered, the sales team had 24 hours to follow up with their leads, and then followed by automatic emails that we sent from Marketo a week after the packages were delivered. So here's our first touch, was a low-cost trifold mailer, and right off the bat, we're personalizing. It's for folks who work in life sciences HR teams. We've got the lead's name right on the front, and then inside we pulled variable data for her industry, and also this is the sales rep that she would work with, so building the relationship right off the bat. And then on the inside, again, to the pharma industry, and if it was a biotech company, it's a biotech industry, the lead's name, and all of the tips that we included in this piece as well were specific communication tips for folks who work in, who communicate benefits to folks in, right, or to their employees. and then more personalization there at the end. And that was, that was followed up with the sales touch from the sales team, and then also the automated email a week later. And then we jumped into our second touch of the direct mail campaign. So a week after the first touch wrapped, we send these fun viewfinders, kind of nostalgic, cool toy. It had a personalized note in the lid of the box, and then also this booklet. So it was themed after HR superheroes. So really personalized content that HR folks would find charming and surprising. And then the last page in the booklet, we're inviting the prospect to sort of imagine themselves also as an HR superhero. You got the name, calling them a benefits warrior, and kind of tying back to their sales rep as well.
Did the viewfinders go to all 70 contacts, just like the trifold, or?
So the folks who converted off of the trifold were kicked out of the campaign. So this one went out to 62, I believe.
Okay.
And then inside the actual viewfinder, we had 7 different HR superheroes. So really like custom, surprising, relevant to their job, creative in there as well. And so after the follow-ups on that one wrapped, we had our third touch, which was a benefits communication inspiration kit. So it was a kind of a kitted gift that was a combination of fun things, like the benefits genius hat you could put on when you're doing your planning, and then more practical content. We had a printed version of our ebook about high deductible health plan communication tips, because that's a plan design that's really common for folks in the life sciences industry, and again, in the latter, personalization all over the place to make it really relevant. And so what happened? What were the results? So right now, we actually have 7 opportunities booked because we got a new one this week. So out of the 31 accounts we are targeting, we've got 7 opportunities on the books. So that's a 19% or 22% conversion to opportunity, which is really high for us. Most of our inbound campaigns don't convert that high.
Terrific.
I'm projecting an 8.5 times return on investment right now, so it's a long sales cycle and it takes a while for our deals to close, but we have a really healthy revenue in the pipeline associated with this campaign, and there's strong indication that the efforts we put to personalize it are going to work. Our sales team penetrated some dream accounts, so that was really big. In some cases, we've been prospecting these accounts for 4 or 5 years with no traction, but these thoughtful direct mail campaigns with the sales follow-up kind of got people interested. And then sales, marketing, and our executives are all really excited about ABM. We're working on our next campaigns now, and it's going to be a big part of our strategy moving forward.
That's terrific. Great. And Travis, I think if you just advance, your slides should be queued up.
Got it.
There we go.
All right. Well, thank you both. I'll try to be pretty brief. Carol told me I wasn't allowed at the happy hour if I took more than 5 minutes, so we're going to try to move fast. Yeah. What I want to do here is just lay out 3 campaigns that we did across different channels and kind of offer some ideas for fodder and then show results at the end. So one campaign we did that I'm really fond of is actually a tier 1 direct mail piece featuring this really cool Batmobile drone. And what we did is we selected about 10 tier 1 named accounts for each account executive. Could be anywhere in the world. We went as far as Singapore, South Africa, Europe. And we customized these drones around the message of let's fly together, featuring our name and the target account's name. We ended up sending these to 3 to 4 execs at each account, and the accompanying letter would say something along the lines of, hey, go find Joe in accounts payable and challenge him to a race. I'll call you to find out who won. And we had about a 40% send opportunity ratio on this. The cost ranged anywhere from $90 to $200, depending on where in the world these people were. The drones themselves are 60 to 70, but shipping does get expensive.
Yeah.
So this is something I think that works really well for specific accounts, but of course you couldn't roll out to your whole database. Another one we did that we're really excited by is personalized video. I've talked about this previously at Marketo Summit and Viewtopia with Vidyard, but the whole concept around actually being able to take information from your database, put it in real time in a video, and send it out to someone is still so new and so fresh that it's really effective for us. Our first test with this, we were actually seeing lower cost per opportunity than cost per lead in some digital channels, which is unheard of. And so we decided to expand this to kind of a day in the life theme. So people got this email saying, you know, does this sound like you? And then they click on it and they see this pretty humorous first half of a video that of course leads into a dream sequence. Well, what if your life could be like this? Oh, no way, it's straight shift. And so that was really successful for us as well. I'll show some results at the end. just on the email alone, the engagement was really high. But in our marketing, we're actually heavily account focused. So this is almost vanity to me at this point. You know, I care that it did well, and I like to, you know, see the team being rewarded for their work. But ultimately, what we're trying to judge on is qualified accounts and opportunities. So I'll show them. Mm-hmm. And the third one I want to highlight is prior to the World Economic Forum this year in Davos, we ran a program where we were basically offering 70 to 80 CEOs to come along for the ride with us and essentially experience a week's worth of programming that we were doing with CNBC and experience the networking scene of Davos. So we sent them these, I think, really slick boxes in the mail, called it our Davos X program. And inside there is this card, highly personalized. The call to action is actually just to call my cell phone. So these people would call my cell phone and we would use it as kind of a sales opportunity. So the effect on pipeline, these are our marketing qualified accounts over the past 6 weeks. Basically, the big jump you see in early December is the personalized video. Late December is a personalized holiday campaign we ran. In January is Davos. So the way we're qualifying these accounts is engagement at the C level, which, as we all know, is extremely difficult to break into. And this is never something we could do, you know, with our website or with email and saying, like, you know, Dear Travis is the personalization. But by taking it beyond and actually investing in these programs and proper targeting, we're able to drive pretty compelling results. So 235 net new MQAs driven by personalization. If you kind of follow that all the way down the weighted pipeline, you know, it's over 450 grand.
Go back to the last slide for a sec, if you don't mind. So these three, the video, the holiday campaign, mm-hmm. and then the Davos, were they all part of the same campaign and that was part of a nurture?
No, these are actually separate? Three separate campaigns.
Got it.
So we're running all our campaigns around our core solution set, but we're trying to reach out to different target verticals, different levels within a company. And so the more money we spend, the higher up we're going to go, like the drones and the boxes. But something like the video actually has mass scalability.
Right, right. Yeah. So it sounds like a lot of what both of you are doing with personalization is really very much top of the funnel. What about the middle of the funnel and some later stages where it's more about sales enablement? How are you using personalization in those instances, if you are?
Mm-hmm. Great question. So we actually just signed on with PFL to enable us to go more multi-channel down the funnel. One of our primary use cases was these marketing qualified accounts, converting them to opportunity and then opportunity to close. And so what we're trying to do there is actually facilitate velocity in our target accounts by using multi-channel approach, LinkedIn targeted advertising, now PFL, mm-hmm. direct mail. And what that'll enable us to do is, we all heard the challenger customer session, I hope, enable us to get to that fifth, sixth person on the decision-making committee to drive up conversion rates down the funnel.
We also use PFL. We use PFL for the campaign that I described, but we have another PFL product as well called Swag IQ, which is integrated with Salesforce. And so we use that more middle of the funnel, bottom of the funnel with our sales reps. Our AEs can kind of choose gifts from our Swag IQ store and write their own personalized note to go along with it. And I always encourage them to make it as personal as possible, mention, something memorable from the call. And that's been really effective for us as well.
That's terrific. So what do you think, both of you, or either of you, what do you think are the top three most important things that people should keep in mind when they're personalizing content or marketing campaigns?
Sure, I'll go first. I would say number one, make it human, as human as possible. You don't want to be marketing-y when you're using personalization. So write like the way you talk, kind of make a human connection. The details matter, so any small place where you can pull in a detail, that makes a big difference too and helps you stand out. Yeah,
I think an important one to keep in mind is that marketing automation can be your enemy as well as your friend. I'm specifically thinking of database hygiene. We spend quite a bit of money validating our data prior to doing anything because the only thing worse than not being personalized is personalizing to the wrong person. I got an email before this conference from someone who I'm a customer of, and they said, "Hey, Carl, we should talk about an upsell." I said, "Well, I'm Travis, but sure, let's have a beer." And so I think there's lots of opportunities for these kind of things to go wrong. I think also breaking through the noise with new channels, the personalized video, I think is a prime example of that. I mean, your campaign was wonderful in direct mail, but I also see a lot of garbage direct mail. So being able to reach people in places they're not used to being reached is quite helpful.
Go for it.
I would agree on the data validation part too. So for our campaign, especially if you're undertaking a bigger ABM campaign or something where you're spending more money, we sent the list to a few of our business development reps and had them go through and kind of verify the mailing address information and if the corporate headquarters was in one state but the person worked in another state, and you could see that on LinkedIn, like try and figure out the right addresses. And then we structured our campaign as well with the low-cost touch at the beginning, so that if we had bad data or if we converted someone, we could kind of pull people out before we sent them things that cost more money. So that helps as well.
Got it. And this may be a little bit elementary, and I'm going off script here, but how do you define what makes a personalization campaign, right? So you could... You could target it in certain ways, and you know the person's name. Maybe you know what they're in the market to purchase, and maybe even you know their budget. But are there other ways that you've found to personalize that are really impactful?
Yeah, I think that's actually a key question for scalability. It really ties into ABM. We like to use a three-tiered structure. So one being, you know, tier one, we're actually going to have a sales development rep go read their 10K, read the BBC, see what's going on specific to that company, and actually one-to-one personalize. Mm. For tier two, we're gonna personalize based on industry and industry trends, and so that's gonna allow us to scale faster. If we say, hey, there's a lot going on in the automotive industry, they're a prime vertical for us, let's send out something personalized on the level of name and company, but maybe everyone's getting the same boilerplate about automotive. And then, you know, tier three would be what we all think of as basic personalization.
Okay, cool. What channels? We know about direct mail, and I love to hear that. I've been a direct marketing reporter, or had been. I guess I'm not anymore. But a lot of the same principles apply. So, what other channels, though, are super effective to personalize messages?
So with the campaign that I showed, we also did a lot of digital personalization as well. So with the content that we updated to be specifically targeted on folks in the life sciences industry, we had a whole LinkedIn campaign targeting not only the accounts in our campaign, but people across the board who work in HR in the life sciences, and kind of sent them the ebook, like super personalized, relevant ebook to your pain points. So that worked out for us. And some website personalization as well, to kind of change our homepage to say the most engaging benefits tool for folks in the life sciences instead of the most engaging benefits tool for everybody, which is what our normal homepage says.
Right.
Nice. I think another fun one is we're all familiar with this idea of lead nurturing and your content journey is dictated by what you've done. But I see a lot of people now doing that in real time, whether that's an ebook and it's choose your own adventure. If you click on this, you're gonna get served this next, and tying into a compelling story. I think that can be great around something like a holiday campaign. That's really fun. You know, something that people can actually feel engaged with, but also see really personalized advice, right? Because if you're making 80% of your buying decision before you talk to sales, and you have the opportunity to educate yourself in half an hour flipping through an ebook, you know, that's money well spent.
That's great. So let's talk a little bit about the software and the technology you're using in order to do personalization, or some of the partners you're working with. You know, I know you told me, Jen, what you've been doing is impossible to pull off without tech help, right? I'm sure the audience members would love to know what you're using to help you personalize.
Sure. So we use Marketo and Salesforce, and then, as I mentioned, PFL. So for the direct mail campaign that I presented, I think, like, at a size that small, you probably could do it on your own, but as we scale up, you can't just forward 200 FedEx delivery notifications to the sales team and say, like, okay, you have a day to follow up on this. But because it's integrated with our Marketo, it kind of pulls the data straight over. So when the package is delivered and the FedEx tracking information populates, it auto-generates a task for the sales force. Great. And then I can kind of monitor the tasks and kind of follow up with them to make sure they're doing it.
We use Marketo and Salesforce as well. And then for us, in terms of personalization, Vidyard, is really the bedrock of our program, but we're also excited to see what we're going to do with PFL. We use ReachForce for data validation. We also use Engageo. We're currently piloting BrightFunnel. I know that's not so rooted in personalization, but it's also speaking to the analytics you need to verify personalization is actually working.
Mm-hmm. So are there things that folks in the audience can do in-house when it comes to personalization if they don't have BrightFunnel, Marketo, an ABM tool like Engageo?
Write postcards. Not kidding, I got a postcard from Terminus last week. Yeah.
For us, we did a lot of work.
I want to follow up on that. So you got the postcard and you
smiled. There's an AE who's been working me in our account for about a year, and he hadn't been getting much traction, and I got a handwritten postcard, and I said, yeah, sure, let's meet for a coffee. You know, I'm impressed by the level of one-to-one effort you put into that.
That's terrific. Sorry, Jen.
We put a lot of work when we were doing research for the companies to include in our campaign as well, looking up how their employees think about their benefits on Glassdoor. Have they recently had a merger, an acquisition, or something like that where you have a new group of employees that you'll have to communicate benefits to, and kind of pull together all of that data into a big spreadsheet, really. Nothing fancy technical there, and shared that with our sales force so that they had the information that they needed in all of their touches to really be top of mind, know what's most important to the prospects in the campaign.
That actually hits on a really good point, if you don't mind me jumping in here. I think the partnership between sales and marketing is so key to personalization working, because if you want to scale, you actually need your sales force to be, and I mean the people, not the product, to be doing research and figuring out what these companies care about, who they are, and what they're about. And so if they feel invested in the program and you tie the results you're achieving to the results they're going to achieve, then you can, 10 or 15x the man hours you can put on researching personalization and the follow-up you mentioned too.
Terrific. Erica, we have a handheld mic, right? I thought we would toss things. I'm sorry, it's a little bright from my angle. Do folks in the audience have questions? I have plenty, but I don't want to hog them too much. Back here? We actually have a mic if you want to wait just 10 seconds. She's fast.
I'm not running.
So as far as database cleanliness, that's like the main issue I have with trying to, in my nurture campaigns and like with personalization. Like, how is that going to scale? I know you mentioned that you give your list to your SDR team, like, have done that, but, like, working with, like, 100,000 leads in your lead database, like, aside from lead scoring, like, I guess I've run into an enrichment problem, like, lead enrichment problem, and how do you tackle personalization for lead cleanliness? Like, what tools are you using to get that?
Yeah, I think you can certainly invest money in technology to address that. I mentioned ReachForce. Marketo also has a pretty strong deduping product. But something else you can do that's free is you can actually write smart campaigns into your Marketo instance, basically looking for different types of bounces, different sorts of disagreements between email address, first name, last name. And you kind of eat your young. You scrub those people out of your campaigns, and over time, you'll actually see a lot more benefit in your response rate.
Cool. So using Marketo to do that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Any others?
Other questions? Brian, did you have a question? Yeah, that was one of mine. How do you deal with inaccurate data? And it's such a universal complaint by most people that I talk to every day at Demand Gen Report. Brian.
Hi. Had one question. We kind of started to touch on it a little bit about sales and the alignment and them everybody having to be on board. What was the conversation like with them? You talked about how you're tying marketing success to sales success, and it would be interesting to hear how that conversation was had, and ultimately how you were able to change the traditional sales culture that they were probably a part of, and being able to make that like mindset shift.
Right, getting sales on your side.
I can go first. So, and I'm lucky in our company, we have a really healthy relationship between sales and marketing, and we think of the sales team as our number one customer, and we, all of our marketing efforts, we want to help our sales team be successful as well. But for this particular ABM campaign, we met with them early and often to kind of tell them what ABM is, why people do it, why we want to try it, what it means for them, communicated throughout the planning, sort of which accounts we were including and what it meant for the expectation for the activities that they would be putting on those accounts, it's above what they're used to. And then just kind of over-communicating each touch as it's coming, like now it's time for the first direct mail touch, you have 24 hours to do your follow-ups, no, really, you got to do your follow-ups right now, that sort of stuff too. Yeah.
I think, one, you can change your organizational structure and do something like put your SDRs under marketing. If that's not a luxury you have, I think you need to have a conversation up front before you do any of this. I call it the epiphany. It's where you kind of sit down with your sales leadership and you say, look, you guys have been account focused forever. Like, we've realized we need to be too. Here's how we're gonna do this, here's how we're gonna set you up. And all of a sudden, you know, they're sitting there smugly thinking, finally, these guys get it. But that makes them excited and it gets them to buy in. I think, once you have that conversation, having very regular meetings with your sales leadership and getting them on the same page, it's very important because people forget fast and slip back in. And then lastly, don't assume people are reading emails or listening on conference calls. I actually like to sit down with people in person and literally at this level, walk them through what exactly we're doing, and then ask follow-up questions. Okay, so do you think that scoring model is working? Why or why not? And you force them to engage, and then they go on and they talk about it, and they see how their results are heavily tied to your results.
And salespeople like to do what each other is doing if it's successful, so kind of highlighting the success. When someone sets a meeting off the campaign, kind of celebrating that and congratulating them, and then the other account reps will want to do the same.
Yeah, that came up in another panel that I was on, and it was like, you have to do with PR about the wins and make sure, and not just assume that the sales team is gonna hear about it. Any other questions in the audience, or should I go back to mine? I don't know.
You should start wrapping up.
Pardon?
You should start wrapping up.
Ooh, we've got 3.5 minutes. Okay, we'll talk fast. I think maybe this will be the last question, depending on how much you guys talk. What are some of the biggest lessons you've learned? What, especially with you, Jen, with your ABM program, and I know you just launched that in January, a month ago. Are there things that you're gonna do better or different next time?
Yeah, so lessons learned. I would say definitely lean on your vendors, whoever your vendors are, especially if you work with any ABM-specific vendors. You're one company, and for us, this was our first campaign, so we could read a lot about it and kind of get good ideas, but your vendors are working with people on ABM campaigns all the time, and so they're a lot smarter, and they have a lot more knowledge about what's worked for other clients. So the viewfinder, that wasn't our idea. We got that idea from PFL. We originally planned it spaced out like over 3 months because we didn't want to overwhelm people with too much direct mail, and they suggested that we condense it to kind of build up buzz around the office, and it was really successful for us. And then the other piece is that the follow-ups, of course, are super key, and just kind of making sure your sales team knows that too, because you can send fun packages and personalized emails all day long, but no one's really going to be like, I'm ready for my demo, I'm gonna sign up for it online. You really have to have a human touch in there as well as essential.
Right, Travis, with your personalized video especially, there's gotta be lessons learned from that whole process.
Yeah, mostly good ones. No, I think my takeaway from that is don't be afraid to try something new and don't be afraid to spend some money. Because when you're looking at something that's maybe outside the scope of the budget you set for the year, you can get a little nervous about what, in the long run, is a relatively trivial amount of money. So I think of it in terms of the number of target accounts and leads you're going to be touching, not in terms of what you're going to be spending. Because if you get, you know, one deal out of that, then it's going to more than pay for itself. And you can't keep doing the same things. You have to iterate, and you have to explore, and you have to expand.
Great, great. Well, thank you so much, and thank you to the very engaged audience for sticking it out late in the day on day two. Thank you to both of you, Jen and Travis, for sharing all your ideas with us today. And they'll be sticking around for a few minutes afterwards if you do want to come up and ask questions. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Yeah.